Did you ever sing that old hymn entitled, No, Not One? The words of the chorus are, Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Indeed, Jesus is the most wonderful friend anyone can have. I hope he is your friend. For whatever your need, he can help. Verse 16 of John's Gospel, chapter 16, Jesus said, A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now there seems to be a double meaning here. First, in all probability, our Lord was referring to his death, which would take place on the next day. But it would only be a matter of a little while, and he would be raised from the dead and would appear unto his disciples again. It seems also that the verse is prophetic. The phrase, a little while, is used 7 times in the next several verses. Recall Hebrews 10, verse 37, where we find the same phrase, For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Surely Jesus spoke of the cross, but also of his ascension, and later his coming again, when he would return to rule and reign in the world. Now the disciples were confused. We read in verses 17 and 18, Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. By this time, they should have begun to understand, for our Lord had spoken of his second advent before. But you see, they were slow to believe the truth. Now, you and I have been guilty of this same failure. How important it is that we be men and women of the Word of God, taking time to study the Scriptures. Not only studying, but believing the Scriptures. As we sincerely ask the Holy Spirit to make the truth clear and plain, He will do this. Now, Jesus said in verse 19, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me? And again a little while, and ye shall see me. You see, our Lord always understands the confusing questions that provoke our minds. Look at 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now the disciples were extremely confused. They really wanted to discuss it with Christ, but they didn't. This was a serious mistake. Rather than talk the matter over among themselves, they should have asked Christ what he meant. This is a common weakness we all have, isn't it? Rather than spending time waiting on our wonderful Lord and submitting all our questions to him, we turn to our friends seeking their advice. It is not that spiritual men cannot give profitable and wise counsel, but the Lord, you see, giveth wisdom. And as we read in Proverbs 2:6, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. God does not always speak at the moment we think he should, but as we seek his guidance, soon we get the answer, and so we must wait on God and look to him. Now verse 20, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, for your sorrows shall be turned into joy. Now here again we see both a historical and a prophetic meaning. After Christ was crucified, his own beloved ones wept and lamented his death. The ungodly Jews rejoiced over Christ's death, thinking that he had been destroyed and banished from this world forever. The Jews had declared in the verse of Luke 19:14, We will not have this man to reign over us. They felt confident that their goal had been achieved, but how wrong they were. Christ arose. After 3 days and 3 nights, he was back on the scene again. The sorrow of the disciples was turned into joy. John 20, verse 20 says, Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. The prophetic meaning has to do with the second advent. In our present day, Christians are going through a time of weeping and lamenting, while the world laughs and rejoices in iniquity. As it was at the time of the crucifixion, so it is now. The ungodly hate and despise Christ and usually feel the same toward those who follow him. Oftentimes, God's people find themselves perplexed and confused as the result of trials and testings. Jesus said, "Ye shall be sorrowful." But our sorrow will not continue forever. God says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "It is but for a moment in comparison to an eternity with Christ." Jesus said, "Your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Now our Lord went on to say in verse 21, "A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." God's people are going through a period of travail, but deliverance is near. Verse 22, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." This will be the consummation of all things when our blessed Lord returns. Thus, with expectancy, as a mother looks forward to the birth of her child, every true believer should look forward to the return of Christ. And then verse 23, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing." Why not? "At that time we shall be like Christ. We shall know all things. Though we face many times of sorrow while waiting for his return, we are not without help. We have a unique privilege as believers." What does Jesus say? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." As we call upon him by faith in the will of God, we shall receive answers to our prayers. Now, of course, what is said in this verse must be considered in the light of other passages of Scripture. For example, "whatsoever" is to be understood as that which glorifies God and honors Jesus Christ. Petitions directed to God without this thought in mind are worthless. I read in James 4, verse 3, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Selfish praying does not glorify God. Answers cannot be expected unless we meet the conditions for prayer. Now Jesus wraps up this portion by saying in verse 24, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Until then, the disciples had not recognized Jesus as their mediator between their heavenly Father and themselves. They had looked upon him as the prophesied Messiah, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, their Lord, their provider, their strength, but they had not yet realized he was their mediator. They must now pray to the Father in his name, and so must we. I hope you have a prayer life, friend. If you don't know Christ, you need him so you can have a prayer life. Father God, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord may take these words and seal them to our hearts as we continue to look into your word, believingly and trusting you for the full blessing through Christ our Lord. Amen.